You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Update. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And on the phone today, I've got Gareth Aird, our head of Australian economics. And today we're really going to drill down into what we're seeing in terms of the strain economy as we move through the coronavirus and also what our outlook is over coming months. Now, as it stands, today in Australia, we have seen the number of new coronavirus cases start to fall. There are some very early signs that all the measures that have been put in place by the Australian government over recent weeks is having some impact. But that's really not going to take away from the economic impact that we've seen already take place and what we're likely to see in coming months. So, Gareth, thanks for joining today.
It's a pleasure, Belinda.
Now, Gareth, we did publish our updated Australian economic outlook earlier in April, and that really, you know, sets the scene for what we're expecting in the Australian economy over really the second quarter of this year and into the third quarter, based on a lot of those announcements that the government have put in place. You know, is it really hard to be forecasting in this environment? What kind of did you look at when we started to put these numbers together?
Oh, look, that's absolutely right. Forecasting is a difficult art at the best of times, and this is probably as hard as it gets. There's a great deal of uncertainty. You know, in the last few weeks, we've seen a number of new announcements, and each one of those, particularly on the fiscal side, effectively changes the outlook. And I think the job keeper announcement that we got just recently was a real game changer in terms of the outlook, particularly for the labour market. But nonetheless, we've had a crack at what we think is going to be the outlook for the economy, particularly over the second quarter of this year. We've taken a different approach to usual. Usually we're looking at the economy in a top-down type way, but I think given the dynamics that are going on right now, particularly with shutdowns impacting materially on certain parts of the economy, we decided to have a bottom-up approach to the forecasting for the second quarter of this year.
So what do the numbers look like for Q2 as we stand?
Look, we've got as our central scenario a contraction in GDP of 7.5% over the quarter. That is an incredibly big fall, the likes of which we haven't seen, certainly in recent times. And it's really based on the idea that a lot of the things that have been shut down basically stay shut down through the entire quarter. So we're expecting to see a material negative impact on household consumption. And the reality is if households can't go out and spend in the way they previously did, then it results in a fall in economic activity. And we're seeing that in our own data, actually, for the past few weeks, quite a contraction in spending on a range of things, recreation, clothing, transport, personal care. And that ultimately is going to feed through to what we end up seeing in GDP. So our assumption at this stage is that the overall economy contracts by 7.5%. A big fall in household expenditure is forecast. We're also expecting to see business investment and dwelling investment come off. There will be a bit of support, though, from the public side of things. I should say that the degree of error is probably higher this time than any other, because we really just don't know what restrictions will remain in play, whether or not we'll see a more draconian approach and more come in, or indeed some of them will be eased. We've basically run our numbers on the basis that what we've got today in terms of restrictions remains in place over the quarter.
And it's no surprise that the challenges of forecasting is heightened at the moment. We have seen both the RBA and also the federal government delay releasing new economic forecasts. So the budget that's normally released in May every year has now been postponed to October. And the RBA has also said it's obviously very difficult in terms of forecasting and won't release numbers anytime soon. When we start to think about the outlook for consumption, though, a lot of that does tie in with the view on the labour market. Now, what we're finding really hard to kind of work out at the moment is the government has introduced a number of measures to try to tie workers to their workplace through the JobKeeper package. And so that was really at the top of our mind when we started to think about what the outlook for the labour market is and also how high the unemployment rate could go. Where did we end up landing with that unemployment rate?
Yeah, look, so it's a good question. What we want to be data-driven as much as we can in forecasting. It's very hard at the moment because we don't have a lot of data on what's actually taking place. And the job keeper payments haven't even been approved by the parliament, let alone flowing through to employers. So we've had to make some assumptions, and our working assumption is that we're going to see a bigger contraction in employment than we will see a rise in unemployment. So our thinking there is that a lot of people won't be working, which means that they won't be classified as being employed, but they'll remain on the books of their employers, and therefore they won't actually be considered as unemployed. And that overall means that labour market participation drops for this period of the shutdown. So we've sort of backwardly worked out the unemployment rate from an assumption around employment and participation. And our central scenario is that we lose almost 600,000 jobs over the second quarter of this year. But when we factor in then that the participation rate drops probably something in the range of 1.5 percentage points, and we end up with an unemployment rate just under 8%, which is still a very, very high jobless rate. We haven't seen an unemployment rate that high for a number of years in Australia. In fact, in the global financial crisis, the unemployment rate didn't get anywhere near as high as that. So that's still a big, big loss in jobs. But it's obviously a lot better than what it would have been had it not been for the JobKeeper payment.
Now, those loss of jobs are probably going to be concentrated in certain industries, and I think that's going to be in areas such as retail. We've obviously seen a lot of retail shops close their doors as a response to the coronavirus outbreak. We've seen some, obviously, a decline in air traffic numbers. So we've seen some falls in transport jobs as well. What other industries are likely to be hard hit? And on the flip side, where are we likely to actually get some job creation as well?
Yeah, what we'll find is that the consumer spending data marries up very well with the labour market data over the second quarter of this year. So in other words, the areas or industries that households are no longer buying goods and services from, they will be the areas where we see the greatest job losses. So retail is clearly going to be one of those areas. You know, a lot of shops are closed. A lot of households just aren't out spending as they previously did, and therefore we'll see a big negative labour market impact there. We think we'll also see quite a number of jobs lost in basically food services. So that's anything really to do with eating out. So restaurants, cafes, takeaway food services. We think we'll see job falls in transport. We just won't have the same flow of motor vehicles basically on the road transporting goods and services, or goods rather, as previously. I think anything exposed to probably discretionary spending more generally is going to take a hit. And of course, anything related to the tourism sector has already been under pressure. And we'll just see that further enhanced over the second quarter. So quite really broad-based job losses, but certainly some industries, particularly those that are exposed to the discretionary spend side on the consumer, they'll be the ones that we see the biggest job losses. In terms of job gains, well, I think we'll probably see a rise in employment in the health sector over the quarter. We generally get job gains there anyway, but I think in particular, given we do have a health crisis, and the number of workers that are employed in the health sector will almost certainly rise over the second quarter of the year. Other industries where we're sort of expecting a broadly flat outcome are really around education, construction, the government side of things. We're expecting most workers in those industries to certainly retain their jobs over the second quarter of the year.
Now, turning our attention to the Reserve Bank of Australia, and they obviously did those two rate cuts in March, taking the cash rate down to the effective lower bound of 0.25%. They met on the 7th of April and left the cash rate on hold at 0.25%. Was there anything new in the statement that we should be watching out for the Reserve Bank?
Yeah, look, not really. At a high level, not really. We're going to be in a situation now where the Reserve Bank board meetings aren't so much about the cash rate and they're more around their bond purchases or their QE program. So the cash rate's down now at 0.25%, which is their nominated effective lower bound. So we're expecting that the cash rate stays there now for a few years. So we're really watching to see if there's any changes around their asset purchase program. So what they're doing at the moment is they're buying government bonds in the secondary market. So that's both Commonwealth government bonds and also state government bonds. They've bought quite a few of those since they commenced the program. And yesterday they made a little hint that if conditions do start to improve, financial conditions particularly, then they would ease off those bond purchases. But you know, right now the market is effectively expecting that they continue on with this QE program. They did make reference to the fact that they're going to do whatever it takes. They're going to be targeting that three-year bond, Australian government bond yield at 0.25%. And so that means they'll be continuing to purchase bonds in the secondary market to keep that rate anchored. So in an overall sense, no changes there. I'll just add that it was probably the first statement that I've ever seen that is so light on colour in terms of how they are thinking the economy will go. There was really only one paragraph in the government statement yesterday that related to the economy, and all we got out of them was that they're expecting a big contraction in output and a rise in unemployment. But we became aware today, actually, on Wednesday, that the RBA governor is giving a speech on the 21st of April. So no doubt there we'll get more colour on how the Reserve Bank actually thinks the economy will go over the next 3 to 6 months.
Now, that will be important to watch. Thanks for joining, Gareth.
It's a pleasure.
Now, where CBA data is cited, this refers to the bank proprietary data. As the statistics take into account only the bank's data, it may not reflect all trends in the market. All customer data used or represented is anonymised and aggregated before analysis is used and disclosed in accordance with the group's privacy policy statement. Now, we have written extensively on the coronavirus and its impact on the Australian economy. You can find all our research on combankresearch.com.au.